Richard, good morning. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure, Arlene. Nice to be with you.
All right. He won the case. Has he won everything? Has he lost some things along the way here? How are you looking at this morning?
Well, it was a strong win, and I read the judgment over the weekend that came down on Friday. And the judge, Justice Fitzpatrick, was very precise, and she pointed out the flaws in the arguments by Rogers and other family members that indeed Edward Rogers had this authority. It was announced last night by the company, Rogers, that they would not appeal. That's not surprising. I think it was a cogent judgment. So the question is, where do we go from here? And right now, Rogers is a dysfunctional board. There's a strong animosity among family members, including the matriarch, Mrs. Rogers, both sisters, vis-a-vis Ed Rogers. And I think that this dysfunction is largely what is driving this. So Edward promptly will, probably sometime this week, will replace the five directors on the registry, or Rogers will do that, rather. And there might be a management shakeup, including the CEO and a number of managers, over the coming weeks. And Rogers, as a board, needs to really come together and prepare for this Shaw merger, hearings of which are later this month.
What's it done to the brand of Rogers here?
Well, it's diminished the brand. It's this is an international viewing right now by countries that are wondering why is this happening. And I've been explaining to international media outlets this is happening because we have dual class shares in Canada. We have a control trust. We have 97% of the votes being reposed in one person, which is a high concentration of power. And we've got family members on the board. And we really don't have a well-governed board. Even before this happened, Rogers and a number of other family companies were rated 59 out of 100 in the Globe and Mail board games. Shaw was rated 62, Canadian Tire 56, Power 52, Husky Energy 61. So we have issues with family-held companies in Canada in so far as their governance is concerned. So this has really opened the light on, you know, is this type of thing acceptable, particularly in Rogers' case where you've got, you know, four family members on a board. That should never have occurred because you're looking at this and you're saying what happens if the family disagrees and siblings disagree, particularly, you know, this has been likened to the movie Succession.
Yeah.
So this is like Succession, except the founder has passed away and the children are viciously fighting. So I think the path forward, Arlene, is for everybody to put down their weapons, their swords, and they need to support the new valid board. And the sooner that happens, the better.
You know, it's a concentration of power as Canada watches this, though. If you say it raises some questions about other companies as well.
Yes, and we meaning Canadian regulators, have traditionally been very permissive when it comes to dual class shares. But other countries have not. Other countries have either banned them or they've set conditions on them. And we don't really have current governance guidelines. Our last update was 2005. So when you couple, and we also have a comply or explain, so which is very permissive. So I think it's high time that regulators, and by regulators, I mean the Canadian government and securities regulators, take a look at, you know, should this be happening? And should family dual class shares be well governed, and what's the cost if they're not? There's been a cost to shareholders for Rogers. 10 million customers use Rogers, so this is not an insignificant company or reach.
No, it isn't. What about the shareholders here? What are they thinking? Because it looks like things are volatile. Things could change.
And that is the central argument against dual class shares. Is only 29% is held by Rogers insiders and management. The vast majority of the company, Arlene, some 71%, is held by retail shareholders, by institutional shareholders, and they don't have a vote. So they're looking at this and they're shaking their head. And they were, as of Friday, they were not even entitled to have a shareholder meeting. So the minority shareholders here really have, and that includes a lot of Canadians in their portfolios, really have, you know, a bone to pick to say, listen, we should have some sort of a say, or we should have some assurance that the company is well governed going forward for our retirement, for pension funds, etc. And they have largely been completely shut out of this. This is a very high concentration of power in the hands of one individual. And it, as I said on Friday, it's really not a good day for corporate governance in Canada.
No, it isn't. What are you watching for? What will tell us how this is going to end?
One thing, and one thing only. If the mother and both sisters come out publicly this week to support the Valid Board. Rogers came out last night and said it would not litigate, but family members need to support. And when I counsel boards through a crisis, particularly a dispute like this, I say, listen, you've got two choices. You either support the will of the board or you stand down from the board. The breaches of confidentiality, the tweets, and I'm not picking on anybody in particular, the public statements, having board meetings in public, the constant infighting, that just can't continue. And that's beginning to compromise shareholder value and also the Shaw merger. So I'm looking for one thing and one thing only, which is family members supporting Mr. Rogers.
All right. Let me just ask you, Richard, how has this played out in the past? I mean, sometimes when you cross a river, you cross a river, and a lot of them were crossed here. That emotion is a lot. To me, if you were able to hold it down, you would have done it already.
Exactly. So yeah. My expectation, Arlene, is that this is a bridge too far to cross. Mm-hmm. And I would not be at all surprised if the infighting continues and Mr. Edward Rogers further uses his power to remove directors that will not support the Valid Board, and that could be family members. So this could get very testy. But I come back to my original point. You never should have had four family members on a public company board of directors. And that is simply because they could. So family firms engage in shoddy corporate governance simply because they can, and they're permitted to under defective governance regulations from 2005. So you're quite right, and we know this from family disputes, that it may be a bridge too far to cross. So we might see some resignations this week or next week if that is the case, unfortunately.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We're all watching this very carefully. Richard LeBlanc, Professor, Governance, Law, and Ethics at York University. Have a great day.
My pleasure, Arlene.